to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies and she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. What then shall we say? That the law is sinful? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin, for I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. Well, that's quite a bit to take in, but Pastor Richard is working to help us to understand these things and unpack what the Apostle Paul has been talking about here. So we look forward to Pastor Richard to go through Romans 7. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Beat me to the punch. So, the text today teaches that we would not have known the true sinfulness of sin had God not given us the law. You see, the law, even though it seems at first that it's something that we would want to obey perfectly so that we could earn righteousness before God, we find that impossible. So God is not naive. When he gives us the law, he knows that we would not be able to obey it perfectly. So the purpose that he has in giving us the law is not what we might at first think. It's not so that we can earn righteousness before him by obeying it perfectly. Instead, the law comes in so that we might know just how wrong our actions are before God and teach us our need for Jesus Christ, for a Savior in his Son. And throughout the Old Testament, there have been periods where there has been more obedience, but not perfectly, and less obedience to the law. And as we read the Old Testament, we see that Israel, who was given the law at first, and the Gentiles did not have it, we see that Israel failed again and again and again to keep the law that they said they loved. And even through the work of the Spirit, they did love God's law, but it was not possible for them to obey it perfectly. So Paul takes up in the first part of Romans chapter 7, what is the purpose of the law and how do we as Christians relate to that law? How do we deal with this reality that we fail to obey God's law constantly and that the only way of salvation outside of Jesus Christ would be to obey it? Therefore, we need to look to Jesus. So let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, thank you so much for giving us your law. As this text says, your law is holy and righteous and good. And the law shows us a reflection of your holiness, Father. It shows us how holy and perfect and blameless you are, Father, and that you require perfect righteousness of anyone who would be in your presence, Father, especially eternally, forever, to be in your presence. Father, you require perfect obedience to your standard of righteousness, which is in your law, Father. Help us to know how we can be saved, Father. If there is no way to obey your law perfectly, how can we be saved, Father? And thank God, for there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Father, as it says at the beginning of chapter 8. And that's where we're working to this week and next week, looking at how we cannot obey your law perfectly and how we need Christ as our Savior so that there might be no condemnation for our breaking of your law, Father. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 7, verses 1 through 3 starts, "Or do you not know, brothers? For I am speaking to those who know the law." So he's speaking to Christians and Jewish Christians who know the law, "that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. For a married woman is bound by the law, to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress." So Paul starts out trying to clarify what he's about to teach with this example of marriage as an illustration of a law that binds someone. For when we're married, a woman in this case is only legally bound to her husband as long as he is alive. We say, "Until death do us part," when we marry. So we're bound for as long as we both shall live in the law of marriage. But a woman is released from her legal union with her husband when he dies. And then she's free to marry someone else. So in this sense, there's a law and it's binding. It's binding only as both in the couple shall live. However, if she attempts to be with another man while her husband is still alive, she is breaking the law of marriage and there's condemnation for that. She's an adulteress. So likewise, as we'll see, when we die, we die to the law when we die with Jesus Christ. We talked about a few weeks ago, unity with Jesus, union with Jesus. And we die with him when he dies as our representative. And so that frees us from the condemnation that is in the law. Let us move forward and we'll see how this plays out. Romans 7, verse 4. "Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. A married woman is released from her legal union with her dead husband because he has died. Similarly, Christians are released from their legal union with the written law when they die in Christ. See, God gives us this law and applies this law to us, and then we fail to obey it. So we need freedom from that condemnation that comes in the law. The law has not died. That's not what this text is saying. So it's not an exact comparison. But it is similar that when we died in Christ to the law, we were set free to be married to another, and we're married to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that when he was raised from the dead, we might be raised from the dead unto new spiritual life and bear fruit for God. So Christ actually, through his death and resurrection, we have union with him in his death and resurrection, and we die to the law, and we raise from the dead spiritually. We bear fruit, meaning we actually obey the requirements of the law. Those requirements are fulfilled in us through Jesus Christ. Number one, those who are in Christ have died with Christ and have also been married to him. So we are also raised from the dead in him and will now bear spiritual fruit for God. Number one, those who are in Christ have died with Christ and have also been married to him. So we are also raised from the dead in him and will now bear spiritual fruit for God. Paul goes on in verses 5 and 6 of Romans 7. For while we were living in the flesh, that's our old nature that we talked about last week, where we were a slave to sin. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. You see, before we were Christians, we were living in the flesh. We were slaves to sin, and we could not obey God's law, no matter how hard we tried, because we were always falling victim to our sinful nature, that slavery we have to sin. Spiritual death reigned in our lives as the law aroused our sinful passions and bore fruit in our members. So as we heard the law, as we came to know the law, sin became greater and greater in our hearts because we could not obey because of our sinful desires in our flesh, as Paul says here. Number two, trusting Christ for their salvation, believers are released from slavery to sin that holds unbelievers captive through the law. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can now serve God in obedience to Christ. Where we have failed to obey the written code of the law before, the Spirit empowers us to conform to the commandment as he sanctifies us in Christ. Number two, trusting Christ for their salvation, believers in him are released from slavery to sin that holds unbelievers captive through the law. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can now serve God in obedience to Christ. Where we have failed to obey the written code of the law before, the Spirit empowers us to conform to the commandment as he sanctifies us in Christ. So what's happening here? When we receive the law, we initially wanted to obey it. So we seek to obey it, but we're held captive through that law because we can't obey it in our own strength. We fail because of our own sinfulness of our hearts. But when we trust Christ for salvation and we receive his righteousness as our own, that perfect life where he always obeyed the law, being the only one who could obey that law perfectly because he is God and man. When we trust in him for that perfect righteousness, the Holy Spirit comes to live in our hearts, and we can now serve God in obedience to Christ. We can obey the law now through Jesus Christ, through his obedience. But the written code of the law is the old way, and we could not succeed in that old way. So through the power of the Spirit we obey, where before in the written code we could not. Romans 7, verse 7 goes on. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. So Paul asks, if the written code of the law, it was not possible for us to obey it, then someone might raise the question, well, then is the law sin? Because it just shows us our sin. It leads to spiritual death. So there, what is the goodness or the holiness or the righteousness of the law if we cannot succeed in obeying it? He says, the law is not sin. He says, by no means. May it never be. No way. This is impossible. It cannot be that the law is sin because God gave us the law and it reflects God's holiness and perfection, that law. Number three, the law cannot be sinful because the law is a reflection of the character of God. But the law by itself cannot bring about our obedience. Instead, through the law comes our knowledge of sin. Thus, the very definition of sin is the breaking of God's law. Number three, the law cannot be sinful because the law is a reflection of the character of God. But the law, by itself, cannot bring about our obedience. Instead, through the law comes our knowledge of sin. Thus, the very definition of sin is the breaking of God's law. If we did not know our own sin, then we would not know our need for Jesus Christ, for a Savior. It is only through the law that God gives to us that we can truly know what it is to covet, as Paul says here. We know that we're sinners because we see the law, and in the law we see a reflection of our own sinfulness because we cannot obey it. Romans 7, verses 8 through 10 goes on. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be a death to me. So this doesn't mean that before God gave the written code of the law, we could not know sin, and we didn't sin until he gave it to us. Because God has written the law on our hearts, as it says in Romans chapter 2. So what actually is happening is that when the law comes in, we come to know the sinfulness of sin. We come to know just how sinful we truly are because we cannot obey that commandment even though we have the law written on our heart and even though we have the written law given to us through his word. Number four, the law creates opportunities for sin to produce in the unbeliever all kinds of disobedience to the demands of the law. Though the unbeliever is still a slave of sin before they hear the law, The power of sin increases when it comes into contact with the law. So, spiritual death grows even more deadly through the corruption of our unbelieving, sinful hearts when we disobey the law. I'll say it again. Number four, the law creates opportunities for sin to produce in the unbeliever all kinds of disobedience to the demands of the law. Though the unbeliever is still a slave of sin before they hear the law, the power of sin increases when it comes into the contact with the law. So, spiritual death grows even more deadly through the corruption of our unbelieving, sinful hearts when we disobey the law. If God had never given a law, whether it be the law he writes on our hearts or it be the written code of the law, we might not know condemnation in the way that we do. But God did give it. And now through the law, we see the great sinfulness of sin, the great depths to which we have disobeyed God. Romans 7, verses 11 and 12. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Paul repeats the same thing differently in this verse, in these verses. Sin's power uses the commandment to deceive the unbeliever into believing they can be righteous before God through obedience to the law. Sin wants us to think that in our own strength, in our own power, we can obey the law and be right with God through it. Instead, the result is spiritual death. Number five, yet God's law is holy, righteous, and good because it reflects God's holy and righteous character. Number five, yet God's law is holy and righteous and good because it reflects God's holy and righteous character. Our last verse, verse 13 of Romans 7. Did that which is good, then, bring death to me? So here Paul's asking this question. If the law is holy and righteous and good, and it shows God's perfections, and it is a wonderful thing that God's law exists, did the law then bring death to us? He says, by no means. May it never be. No way. Impossible. That cannot be. Because the law is holy and righteous and good. In fact, it was not the law. It was sin producing death in me through what is good in order that sin might be shown to be sin and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. God gave the law so that we might, in disobeying it, know our own sin and turn to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So God gave the law so that we might not know our own sinfulness, and so thus Jesus Christ might be exalted as the Savior of us. He wanted to exalt his Son. So he gave a law that he knew we could not obey perfectly, so that his Son could come in and obey that law perfectly to succeed where we have failed, and so that we might have Jesus Christ's righteousness as our own in Christ, as opposed to earning it through our own strength. And then Christ went to the cross, and he took the punishment that we earned through breaking the law. He took that punishment on himself so that we might not have to receive that punishment, the punishment and condemnation that comes through the law. And then in union with Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit as he is resurrected. And that Holy Spirit gives us the ability to, in greater and greater measure, obey the law that we could not obey before. Until one day soon, when we go to heaven, God will glorify us and make us into perfect righteousness of Christ, so that we will no longer disobey the law forever and ever. But you can see that the purpose in this is not so that we might earn righteousness through obeying the law, but instead so that we might turn to Christ, repent of our sin that the law reveals, and trust in him. Number 6, it was sin that produced death in Paul's heart through the holy law of God. The purpose for this was that sin might be shown to be sinful, and that sin itself might become even more sinful. Thus, it was through the work of the law that Paul realized his need for Christ. Number 6, it was sin that produced death in Paul's heart through the holy law of God. The purpose for this was that sin might be shown to be sinful, and that sin itself might become even more sinful. Thus, it was through the work of the law that Paul realized his need for Christ. Our need for Christ, by looking at his law, in his word, we can grow in our ability to see our need for Jesus. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to look at his holy word, look at his holy law, and say, I cannot do this. I am such a sinner. Why can't I obey God whom I love? And then turn to Jesus for forgiveness so that we might not be condemned by the law. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we will see that soon. After next week's sermon, that's where we're arriving. Application. Number 1. Mourn the reality of sin in your life. Feel poor in spirit as you think about the truth of your own sinful heart. Hate that sin dishonors God. Number 1. Mourn the reality of sin in your life. Feel poor in spirit as you think about the truth of your own sinful heart. Hate that sin dishonors God. So God is not causing us to sin by giving us the law. We have sin in our own hearts. We are the origin of our own sin. Because of that, when the law does come and it shows us our sin, we should be mourning that sin. We should feel poverty of spirit, meaning we should feel terrible that we are disobeying God, that we have a sinful heart, and we should hate that our own sin dishonors God, that we're supposed to love God, and yet we sin against him. And we should hate that. Number 2. Application number 2. See the reality of God's holiness as you learn more about his law in his word. Understand that on your own, you cannot succeed in obeying his law in the way that he requires you to. Number 2. See the reality of God's holiness as you learn more about his law in his word. Understand that on your own, you cannot succeed in obeying his law in the way that he requires you to. He requires us to obey his law perfectly. It is our own fault that we fail to do that. It is not because of a flaw in God or in his law that we fail to obey him. And because of that, we should see just how holy and righteous and good he is when we look at his word and see our own failure to obey. Application number three. Rejoice. Rejoice that we have died to the law through the body of Christ. Being in Christ, we can now obey God more and more as the Spirit has raised us from the dead so that we may bear fruit for God. Number three. Application number three. Rejoice that we have died to the law through the body of Christ. Being in Christ, we can now obey God as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has raised us from the dead so that we may bear fruit for God. All our righteousness, it says in God's word, without the work of the Spirit, without Jesus, all our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. We don't have one whit of righteousness that is not tainted by sin. And the law reveals that. But once we're in Christ and we have died to the law through his body, through Christ's body, dying on the cross, being in Christ, we can now obey God increasingly over time as the Spirit has raised us from the dead so that we might bear fruit. And God has prepared many good works for us, it says in Ephesians 2, verse 10. Many good works God has prepared for us. Through the Spirit, we can now obey the law in a way we could not without the work of the Spirit, without the work of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, we want to obey you. And when we see the law, we realize that we fail. We fail to obey you and that we are wretched, wretched sinners, Father. But thanks be to you, Father, for the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, thanks be to you that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, and next week we're going to look at the struggle that we have, even as believers, in obeying your law, which we love as believers, Father. I pray that we might have victory in this struggle through what Christ has done for us, Father. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Richard. Hope you were able to get all those things in.